The scripture reading today is from Psalm 85, 1 through 2 and 8 through 13. I'm reading from the New International Version. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all of their sins. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.
So what have we got? Looks like we've got peace written on the sand. No gale there. Yeah. So it is Peace Sunday, at least for us this year. This is Peace Sunday. We've got the peace candle burning steadily now. It was a little bit jittery just before when I was watching it. It's also the Sunday traditionally when our New Testament scripture, our gospel scripture, is about John the Baptist, and you know he's doing his thing. He's preparing the way. He's calling out, and so we have both of those things. And if you read about John the Baptist, it's not necessarily peaceful. What he has to say, but these two things are what we have on Sunday, on this particular Sunday. So I would like to think about what peace is, what the basic definition of peace. And again, if you want to put something in the chat or whatever, since I know this isn't our actual talking time, but who knows, maybe Joe can make that happen. I don't know. I shouldn't put any extra strain on the technology today. So chat would be good. But I mean, mostly the basic definition of peace is going to be not war, the absence of violence and conflict. Basic definition, kind of a negative definition. And if you have any others that you'd like to add to that, please do so. You might think about things like peace of mind, what is involved in that. Rest seems like kind of a peaceful idea. You might have heard or said, would you please shut up and give me some peace and quiet? Which isn't really a very peaceful thing to say, but you know, so what is that? Peace means silence, means the kids not arguing, means something like that. All kind of negative definitions of peace. And I didn't have any of those things in my life last night, between the time I went to bed and the time I woke up this morning. I did not have a peaceful night. I had dreams. I didn't even feel like I slept very well. Now, according to my Fitbit, I slept well and I slept long, but I wasn't aware of that because I was both thinking about this morning, thinking about peace and what I was going to say, and also having a dream where I was in some kind of a conference and I was going from one building to another to direct some music, and it wasn't a bad dream. It was okay, but it wasn't restful. It wasn't peaceful. And so there's got to be more to peace than just the lack of those negative things. And so to look at peace, to think about what's involved in peace, we have a really lovely picture in the psalm that we just heard. This is what peace looks like in the mind of the psalmist. God's favor on your land. Restoration. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. Forgiveness You forgave the iniquity of your people and pardoned their sin. And down to verse 8, God the Lord will speak peace to God's people. God will speak peace to God's people. God will send the word that was born in the stable in Bethlehem. Surely his salvation is at hand. And then verses 10 through 13 is just a rich tapestry of peaceful images. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Think about that, righteousness. And sometimes we think of righteousness as being firm and stern and, you know, justice and retribution and those things. Self-righteousness is an idea that comes to mind, which doesn't seem to be something that will meet with peace and kiss. Think about what's involved in a kiss. You know, there may be all kinds of things involved in a kiss, but we kiss all kinds of people. I mean, we kiss our spouses, our children, our families, our friends. Sometimes we greet with a kiss. There's a lot less kissing now than there was before 2020, I think, but we don't just kiss the people that we're married to or in our immediate family to whom we were born or whatever. And kissing is very intimate. It's very close. It involves affection, certainly, to some degree. Liking. It involves trust. It involves vulnerability, openness. And then goes on with verse 11, faithfulness will spring up. The Lord will give what is good. God's good gifts given to God's people. Our land will yield its increase. Now, for a society that was agricultural, that's really important, because if the land doesn't yield its increase, then you go hungry and perhaps you die. So there's safety and security involved in this. And then finally, it ends with these words, righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps, will prepare the way. Throughout the week, as I've been reading, I have come across Old Testament, New Testament ideas of preparing the way. This is not just John the Baptist who's coming and preparing the way for the birth and for the ministry of Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 43, he starts looking ahead and says, in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. He doesn't say get out of the wilderness. Wilderness is a theme throughout the history of the Bible. In the wilderness, where you are, where things are wild and crazy, prepare a way, prepare a peaceful place. This is the word of the messenger. This is what we hear from John. In Luke, the first chapter, there's lots of things that happen in the first chapter of Luke that we read about this time of year. But one of them is in verse 79 of the first chapter about guiding one's feet on the path of peace. Again, preparing the way, and the way is peace. The messenger will prepare the way, and righteousness makes a path. So as we focus on peace, we think not just about when will these wars end, when will oppression end, when will disease go away, when will disasters stop, that kind of negative stuff that we want, that we need, that we all ardently desire. But also, We're focusing on preparing a way in the midst of this wilderness of conflict, of disaster, of violence, preparing a way that is a way of peace that will lead us, and not only will lead us, but that God will go with us on this path. So peace is not just the absence of all of these negative things, and that's good. We want these negative things to go away. That's a very basic, very inadequate definition of peace. Peace involves the presence of God and God's kingdom and everything that is part of that: righteousness, faithfulness, justice, mercy, love, trust, all of those things. We wait and we prepare for God and God's kingdom to come. We remember that God has come before, that God is with us now, and that Jesus will come again, and that we will see the peaceful kingdom. Amen.